Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Jordan from Federal Way, Washington.
I'd like to ask you to come and join us. Get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Mark in chapter 10. We have just read a couple of contexts in Mark that seem to still be on our minds about the disciples arguing first. This has happened on the last podcast yesterday or last week if we're on once a week and you're on your radio station you listen to. And the disciples were all trying to be the top, trying to be number one, like on a basketball team, number one on a debate team. And here they were trying to be number one on Jesus's disciple team. And Jesus actually told them to be like little children and to be a servant. The whole book of Mark has the word servant written all over it. It's the Greek word euthys, and euthys means immediately. And like when you go to a restaurant, you don't want to wait an hour or 2 hours to get your food that's cold. You want to be served immediately. You'd like service immediately. So this is the 12, and they were exactly opposite of the way Jesus wanted them. They were trying to be the number one or the boss or whatever, and Jesus says, no, you're going to start off as a servant. You're going to learn this from the bottom up and learn how to lift people up and not push them down. And then the little children were brought to them and to Jesus, and they were annoying them. And because we were thinking about their age, maybe they were in their 20s. They were certainly not grandparent age because I don't think they would have been so readily annoyed about the little guys. And they were annoyed. And here Jesus was indignant because of it and rebuked them. Rebuke is a stiff balling out. That's not just a casual comment, is it?
No, he was telling them he wasn't pleased.
How would you like that from the Lord Jesus, the Creator? It would not. You saw something too, Steve.
And this brings up an interesting point. Jesus has that as part of his personality. He's not happy all the time with people. He has in here where he will rebuke them. He will tell them no. He will tell them the right way. And so we have to really let that Jesus come out of the Bible and be the Jesus that we listen to.
The ones he's the closest to.
The ones he's the closest to. Look how he treats them.
But he doesn't want us to hold back. He wants this stuff to come out. He wants these things. If we're going to be a servant, he wants them to come to the surface so they can, what does he say, change your mind? In Matthew, we read this, change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. This is two of the rules of the kingdom of the heavens. One thing, you're not the boss. Just because you're next to me, oh yeah, I knew Jesus. You don't throw his name around to be better than other people. These people were doing things in the name of Jesus to benefit other people, and they were using it the right way, and his disciples were actually wrong. And these people that they didn't know that were not following with them, they didn't trust them, so they tried to hinder them from doing that. You had a comment, Steve. What did you see?
Yeah, we had talked about it in the last podcast in Mark 9:39. Jesus said, do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. And then what we had read earlier is said in Mark chapter 10, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So within a page, he is reminding them twice not to hinder people to come to him or to practice these things in his name.
The first one was casting out demons.
Right.
In Jesus' name.
So one of them was doing a practice that Jesus literally showed them and told them to go do. And the next one, people were actually bringing him their kids, and they're going, no kids, Jesus, and don't do the things they practice. We don't want any. They were messing it all up. They know these two things are good, and they yet are against them. People are funny. Maybe people are just different and mess up like that. Like when John said to Jesus, teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we were hindering him. So they were all together in this, but John was the spokesman to go to Jesus to tell it. And it's interesting, but Jesus said to him, well, don't hinder him. Well, John's going up with this big message, and all of a sudden he says, John, you don't hinder him. He says, we were doing this. So all of them were doing it. They were wanting to stop anybody doing casting out demons that they didn't know. Now, when he sent them out two by two, he didn't say, okay, cast out demons. You're going out two by two. And by the way, if you see anybody doing this that you don't know, tell them not to do it. He didn't say that, did he?
No.
No.
They went beyond
what he said.
They really didn't know anything about it because they did not know how Jesus was working with other people and in their hearts and how he had affected them. That's the one thing we cannot see is what's in Jesus' heart and mind. We just can't see that. Next context.
So in knowing that, that opens a door here that I did not think about before that shows that somebody told these people to do this. Jesus. It does. There's proof. There's somebody doing it. John the Baptist didn't do it. He never talked about it. He did zero signs. So they had to learn this from Jesus.
John the Baptizer did not.
Zero signs. John did no sign.
From that time Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. Now after John had been put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled. Repent and believe in the gospel. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. There was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you are from God, for no one can do these things that you have done. But Jesus answered and said to him, be born from above to see the kingdom. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. Come to me, all you children, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. He who does not receive the kingdom like a child will not enter in. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. So repent and believe in the gospel, so that we may fulfill the Father's will by coming to Jesus and doing his word, to enter his kingdom just as you've heard. To enter his kingdom just as you've heard.
Okay, we're in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22.
And as he was going forth into the way, one ran to him and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, God. Thou knowest the commandments: kill not, commit no adultery, steal not, bear no false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing thou lackest. Go, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions.
That goes back to way back at the beginning in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, and then in 18 and 19, Jesus said, "Change your mind, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand." And then in verse 19, he told them to come and follow me. Now he's telling other people this. This has not changed. So they were kneeling to him and coming to him. And he, again, is starting them at the beginning. They're going to have to change their mind, and they're going to have to come and follow him. "Then you shall have treasure in heaven." Isn't it interesting? He's telling them to look up, not do things for what's on this earth. You ever think about that one song about set your mind on the things above? So he was kneeling to him. He was respecting him. He was kneeling to him. He is the king. Really, he's the creator. And he was asking for eternal life. But he said, no one is good save God. So he came in the form of man. Do you think he's telling people, don't worship me as a man? I haven't finished my work. My work is not done yet. I'm in the form of a man, even though he does never sin. But he's telling us, really, don't ever worship a man. Do you think, what did you get out of that? Isn't that an interesting statement? Even though he is Jesus Christ, he told him it was not yet time to do homage to him. He was telling him to come and follow him, right? He stopped him. He says, Jesus says, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, God." And then he told them about keeping the commandments. We've been dealing with the Ten Commandments already, just in chapter 9, right? So he's been a commandment keeper, teacher. He listed the commandments. And Jesus didn't rebuke him, "You liar," because, "Teacher, all these have I observed from my youth." So he wasn't doing those things that his disciples were doing, was he? He was, his disciples were not honoring the kids, and they tried to stop the guy that was casting out demons in Jesus' name. And he says, "I've done this from my youth. I've kept the commandments." And he said to him, "But here's what you lack." And what was that?
The most important thing in his life. He had to turn away from it. And in this sentence it says, Jesus looked upon him and loved him. And you go, well, what did he love about him? He'd followed the commandments his whole life. He He'd followed every one of these. He loved him. And he says, you just lack one thing. Just lack one thing. Go sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me.
And of course, he loved him with a godly love, agapeo.
He did. But the man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions.
Yeah.
But he'd done all these things from his youth. But he just had this one thing. And he says, if you want to have treasure in heaven,
you got to leave it all behind. Your treasure has to be in heaven, not on earth.
Isn't that what Jesus said in one of the parables in Matthew? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field that someone found and hid, and for joy over it, he sold all that he had to buy the field so he could have that treasure. So is his joy, is he going to sell all so that he can have this treasure in heaven, but not his treasure on the earth?
The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Set your mind on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seated at the right hand of God.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory, in glory, in glory.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Okay, we're in Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 27.
And Jesus looked about and saith to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches go into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and says to them, children, how hard it is to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished exceedingly, saying unto him, then who can be saved? Jesus looks upon them and says, impossible with men, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.
You know, it's interesting. This is recorded in Matthew in chapter 19, verse 23. Truly I say unto you, it will be hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And here it is in the book of Mark, hard it will be for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. This is a record of the same conversation. All scripture is God-breathed. And because the Bible is numeric mosaic, we know everything is in there for a reason. God says one thing in Mark, but the same scripture is quoted in Matthew as the kingdom of the heavens, and that was the focus on Matthew, but Mark is a different focus, and it is on servitude. It's shown as the kingdom of God here where it was the kingdom of the heavens. Of course, because it's the kingdom of the heavens, there are going to be things that we will not have a clue about. All we know is we know a republic. We are a republic in America. We are a democratic republic, but we are a republic. And other countries are kingdoms like England and so on. We have no clue what a kingdom is like. They wanted to make George Washington king, and he would not stand for it for good reason. So God's kingdom, and there's nothing like the kingdom of the heavens on the earth. We're having to learn this, really, we had to learn it from scratch. And the only way you could is because God's revealing it to us through other means that we'll find out as we keep reading. So this is the kingdom of the heavens it's talking about. And we found out that we have to be willing to leave everything behind in the context just before and sell whatever you have and go give to the poor, and now we'll have treasure in heavens. Now, some people were not told to do this. Zacchaeus, he just was going to give a part. I'm going to bring this up for a reason. And I know I'm skipping ahead just a little bit, but he was not told this. That's all I'll say. But this man was, so it shows that he had a problem. Money was a god. He had to turn away from that god. And maybe just live daily by the daily word. But some people were not required to do this, but it shows that that guy's hang-up was that right there. And the funny thing is, he was in all other aspects, I think, perfect, because he kept all these things that Jesus had required, but one thing he still lacked, and that was to sell all he had, not to make money his god. Other people can have money and it doesn't become their god, but this individual, apparently it was. Maybe his name was Rockefeller or Vanderbilt or some other person. Anything else about what we just read?
He said, sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.
Yep. Now, this next context, it goes back over that, doesn't it, again, about entering the kingdom of God. It's easier for the camel to go through the needle's eye than a rich man. And they said a camel actually could. The eye of the needle was such a low passageway. If you go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and you go into this one restaurant, the door is super low to go in there, and it is set at a height that a man cannot ride in on a horse. You know, a conqueror cannot ride in a horse and with a sword kill everybody, or, you know, they had to dismount from the horse. So a camel had to take all the baggage, they said, off that he was carrying, and they had to actually get down. He had to kneel. It was very difficult for a camel to get through this eye of the needle. It was just a low, low passageway. A man could not go through there armed on camelback. That's what I read about in history. And the subject, again, is entering into the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
And Jesus says this is only possible with God. With people, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.
And their reaction was astonishment. Did you catch that word? What's astonishment?
Well, their answer, they said, then who can be saved? You just gave us something impossible here. Who can be saved?
And he says it is impossible with men. So you can't trust in a person. It's not a person. You hear a pin drop in here. But maybe people will give great pause to that and think about it.
We're giving great pause for a reason. Nothing was in my mind. You're right to create a place of thinking for the people that are listening to this, to think about this.
Yeah, have you thought about it? Really, what we're talking about is you're not saved by a man. You're not saved believing in a man. This is between you and Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 31.
Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." Jesus said, "Amen, I say unto you, there is no one that has left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive a hundredfold now and this season, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many first shall be last, and the last first."
Then he throws that one in at the very end. Isn't that interesting? So a person that could be a leader, you know, that appears to be a leader, which we're not to be, he could be humbled when he ends up there. It's not going to be the way we think it is when it gets there. God will judge every man according to his heart, and he will always judge righteous judgment. It won't be our standards. It'll always be his standards. Isn't this interesting how this just, it turns the tables on a lot of, I don't hear this read in churches a lot. Do you? I don't hear this discussed a lot.
What's a riddle? How are you going to expound on it? Huh? It's something that's said. The part that he starts about at first, he says, if you've left your house or your brothers or your sisters or your father or your mother or your children or your fields for my sake and the gospel's sake. So he just set a point down there. There are people that are going to have to leave all of these things. That's going to be a requirement. They're going to have to leave things. And then he says, but if you do that, you're going to get 100 times more right now in houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, fields. And then he adds persecutions. You leave everything you have, but you get 100 times more here, but you're going to get persecutions too. Now, all of that is an absolute riddle to people.
Everything goes against the way a man thinks.
Exactly.
It's totally opposite.
That's probably why they don't talk about it. What are they going to say about it?
But the sake is, for my sake, Jesus speaking, and for the good news sakes. What have we given ourselves to do? And the main theme running through all these, there might be a couple hundred radio shows by the time we're done with this, because this one's going kind of slowly. In Mark, for some reason, we're covering fewer chapters with more time. I've slowed down here. All of a sudden, my brain has slowed down. And I'm trying to look at this fresh, like I've never seen it before. So there's two reasons why we leave mother, father, child, and fields. In other words, we don't still plow the same field. When I started reading the Bible, I was not plowing in the same field. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."